WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
A new exhibit at MoMA asks us to reconsider our physical surroundings and how race has informed the way our cities have been built. Titled Reconstructions, Architecture and Blackness in America. The show was organized by Mabel O. Wilson, the Nancy and George E. Rupp Professor of Architecture Planning and Preservation at Columbia University, and Sean Anderson, an associate curator in the Department of Architecture and Design at MoMA, as well as Ariel Dion Krosnick, curatorial assistant. The name of the show is obviously a reference to the 12-year period following the Civil War known as Reconstruction. It was a time meant to address and correct the political, social, and economic legacy of slavery. Now, part history lesson, part art exhibit, the show draws on a wide range of work and geographical locations, revealing how race has shaped where we live and work, and history's long left untold. As the show's catalog states, American racial injustice is fundamentally spatial. The show opened last Saturday, and it runs through May 31st, and we're pleased to have Professor Wilson back on the show. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
And Sean Anderson is joining us as well. Sean, nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. Good afternoon, and thanks for having me.
You both co-authored the catalog's introduction, and I'm going to read a little part of it. It says, the participating architects, artists, designers, and writers were asked, how might processes of unbuilding structural racism within our built environment expose an uncertain but promising equity and reevaluation of Black life? Sean, why was this a question that you wanted to pose?
Essentially, when we began the research that would inevitably lead to the book, which we are calling a field guide rather than a catalog, and then the exhibition, it was a recognition that the legacy and afterlives of slavery, of the slave trade, and also of racism writ large across the world as a, in part, a colonial project, was literally designed and built into almost every city in America. And beginning with that and acknowledging that history then became not only the cornerstone, but also something to reflect on and move beyond for each of the authors and the participants in the exhibition. So what we, Mabel and I, as well as all of the participants, really were trying to both push against, but also imagine was that architecture and planning and urban design can move past these histories, that they can reimagine new worlds, new spaces, and new ways of living in the United States today.
Mabel, you know, you talk about architecture, you think about building, but how is the show also an exploration of what wasn't built, what was prevented from being made? Mabel, are you there?
Here I am.
There you are.
Yeah, sorry about that. I think what, you know, our contributors in the show recognize, which is something that's very essential, you know, to architecture, to how we're trained as architects, right? Because a lot of what we work on as architects is never built. So always within architecture is this kind of possibility. And I think Walter Hood talks about possible futures. So there already is kind of something utopic in architectural propositions to begin with, which I think makes it kind of maybe an ideal medium to think about what possible futures are, especially when we know, I think, as Sean said, that the built environment really becomes an agent through which anti-Black racism was realized. And we have only to think about, as we show even on a cover of our field guide, the HOLC maps, otherwise known as the maps that produce redlining. Mm. And in the in cover of the book, we show how the concentration of the pandemic, right, of people who became sick with coronavirus, neatly overlays onto the ways in which poverty was constructed, even in a place like New York City, by design, right? So our built environment, even though we don't think about it oftentimes because it's just kind of there and it's very pragmatic and utilitarian, you know, is part and parcel of regimes of power. And so I think, you know, the show is both dealing with that legacy, but also addressing through the works those possibilities.
There is a somewhat meta aspect to the show, and I think if people read about it, they'll know this, that it's being staged in what people normally think of as the Philip Johnson Gallery, named after the founding director of the Museum of Modern Arts, Architecture, and Design Department. And this is well known. It's out there in the world. Johnson was a talented man, a famous man, but he was associated with the Nazis. He was openly racist. He once infamously said, "I don't care who builds monuments for Blacks." So this exhibition is being held in that gallery. But the name, his name, has been covered by this enormous piece. It's so interesting. I sat there, I looked at it, and I thought, wait, that's not normally. There's something else that's normally there, and it's covering his name. And it's a piece from the Black Reconstruction Collective. So, Sean, tell us about the Black Reconstruction Collective, and if you would describe this piece that's covering Johnson's name.
Absolutely. The BRC, for radio here, the BRC was formed in the midst of our discussions over the past 2 years by the 10 participants who are directly responding to thinking about and producing works around architecture per se. And so the 10 members formed the BRC not only to respond to Johnson's legacy in part, but also to form a 501c3. They are now incorporated as a way to begin to assert the voices of now longstanding absence of Black voices and African-American and diasporic architect voices in the profession, in the discipline, in pedagogy, and in museums and institutions. It was a great and wonderful, in fact, surprise when they announced this to our advisory committee and to Mabel and myself at a meeting. And they have done enormous strides so far as a collective. We agreed that in conversation with them and the museum, that the one and only collective work that they would make as the Black Reconstruction Collective would bear their, what they call their manifesting statement. And this is now sewn into a very large 10-foot by 10-foot denim banner that does in fact cover the name of Philip Johnson, because Mabel, Ariel, and I argued from the beginning that Johnson's legacy, Johnson's name, Johnson's presence should not be part of our exhibition.
Mabel, is there anything you wanted to add?
I think the statement, the manifesting statement, is powerful because it sort of recognizes that the work of Reconstruction, right, the period that you talk about at the start of this segment, you know, where enslaved Blacks were freed. They were promised emancipation, but also citizenship and the right to be treated, you know, like a human and to be treated equally. And that was never fulfilled. It's never been fulfilled. Just the right to vote is still today a struggle. And it's beautiful that the statement recognizes that they are going to continue the work of Reconstruction, right? And that's a really powerful ethos to have at the threshold, I think, of the remarkable exhibition and 11 really extraordinary works.
And for our listeners, I took a pretty good picture of it yesterday, so I'll put it on our Instagram at All of It WNYC if you want to read the mission statement and see this 10x10 piece. My guests are Mabel O. Wilson and Sean Anderson. We're talking about reconstructions, architecture, and blackness in America. Now, Mabel, you mentioned Walter Hood, and for people who are like, I know that name. He's a professor at Berkeley. He has his own studio in Oakland, and he received a genius grant, the MacArthur Foundation genius grant in 2019. His piece is commissioned for the show called Black Towers, Black Power, and the description reads, Hood reimagines an avenue in Oakland through the advocacy of the Black Panther Party. How does he accomplish this reimagining for this show?
Well, I mean, Walter's project is really extraordinary. I mean, he has these, you know, as you saw in the gallery, these 10 totemic Black models, right, that are almost, you know, human-like in the gallery, and they sort of march along a wall of drawings, and each of the towers and each of these 10 beautiful prints that he makes responds to 10 points of the Black Panther Party, because the Panthers came out of Oakland. And he situates the towers along San Pablo Avenue, which really has a concentration of social service organizations. And so for each organization, there is a tower, and the form of the tower actually comes from 10 inventions, 10 patents by Black inventors. So it's all about, again, future possibilities, the possibility of the patent, the genius of Blackness, what the Black Panther Party, kind of promised in their platform, in the work that they did around health, around school lunches. I mean, they really established work in the 60s that became policy, you know, in the 70s. And so, you know, he translates that into an architectural expression, that really sort of speaks to a Black future, and one that is clearly collective and communal.
Sean, there's a piece that's very New York in this show called The Frozen Neighborhoods. The description says it speculates how sustainable practices and new technologies might be used in a future Brooklyn impacted by climate change. Would you tell us a little bit about the artists and how the piece addresses environmental justice?
Absolutely. The work is by Olalakan Jaifus, is a Nigerian-born artist, architect, thinker extraordinaire, based in Brooklyn in Crown Heights. And his project began really where he lives. He's been in that part of Brooklyn for around 20 years. He actually says that he hasn't left a six-block radius in that time in many ways. He is really just a profound thinker, but in an immersive way. And he's created not only a series of spectacular, highly detailed computer renderings that, on one hand, almost appear real. They're photorealistic in as much as kind of science fiction, if you will. He's also created a kiosk that kind of situates one's entry into what he calls the Frozen Neighborhoods, or TFN. So he speculates, and he's very interested in speculative Afrofuturism and the literature around these ideas. And he speculates that in the future, Brooklyn, by virtue of climate change, will have been flooded and will limit access to other parts of the city. So his work is commenting not only on that possible future, but also reimagining spaces of the everyday, such as a sidewalk church that becomes a seed vault, or towers that you do kind of recognize in the imagery that have been now overgrown with lush green vegetation and objects that on one hand appear as if they belong there, but are actually these super scientific or science fiction-like objects flying in the air and so forth. So what he's imagining is something that we know is possible and will happen to some degree. And on the other hand, asking each of us to say, what are we doing in our communities today that could effectively transform that future?
My guests are Sean Anderson and Mabel O. Wilson. We're talking about Reconstructions, Architecture and Blackness in America. You can currently see it at the Museum of Modern Art. So Mabel, it's not only architects who contributed to this show. Why was it important that this exhibit be interdisciplinary, include works by designers and artists?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting show in the sense that I think when people walk into the gallery, they have a certain expectation, maybe what a show of architecture should be, mm-hmm. With plans and sections and models, and they're there. But you see a range of expressions of videos and found objects. I mean, there literally is half a porch in the gallery from Sekou Cook, right? That's a stoop. Deconstructed Jermaine Barnes's sort of deconstructed spice rack. And so you see both the familiar, you see the architectural, and I think, you know, it's because the ways in which people are exploring the various cities and towns that they situate their work kind of requires a spectrum of kind of methods and ideas and techniques. And so along with the 10 participants, and some are as licensed architects, you know, if you're not a licensed architect, you're not supposed to call yourself one. So there are also designers, and, you know, there are people who are trained as architects who really function as artists, like, you know, Amanda Williams, who did a really beautiful project about Kinloch, Missouri. And we also invited the artist David Hart, who works around architecture, place, history, to also contribute it, to see, you know, these questions of Black communities, built environments, legacies of racism, Black futures, from a slightly maybe different perspective. And we felt, you know, that this kind of broad range would really tell, you know, almost a kind of epic story of Reconstructions.
Sean, quickly, we only have about a minute left. How do you think reconsidering the past informs how we build the future?
Wow, you saved that for a minute.
I might have to ask you back on it. That's not fair. That is just an unfair question. I retract the question. I'm going to leave it out there for the audience to consider because we don't actually have enough time to answer it.
Well, what I would just say is that the exhibition and all of the participants have asserted that there is the possibility to imagine new worlds.
Reconstructions, Architecture and Blackness in America is currently at MoMA. Mabel Wilson and Sean Anderson, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.